We're continuing our study in the book of Proverbs, and we're up to Proverbs chapter 31 today. And as we get to this last chapter of Proverbs, you know, it's been an amazing ride in the book of wisdom that God's given us here. So very grateful for what the Lord has done to carry us through and show us things here. So Proverbs 31 starts out with the words of King Lemuel. So this is the king telling this story. It's from an interesting perspective here. It says the utterance which his mother taught him. So he's telling this story, but these are things that he learned from his mother, and it's almost coming from her perspective, if you want to look at it that way, because King Lemuel is the one that put these words forth, and they've been recorded and gathered, and thankfully we have them in the Word of God today. So in verse 1 there, as it talked about him, we want to look first of all at the author of this chapter. We don't have any information about King Lemuel. He's not listed in any of the kings of Israel or Judah. Just like Agur in the last chapter, the scriptures don't tell us anything else about him. Some think that he was a pagan king who put his faith in the God of Israel, became a believer. And through the fear of the Lord, King Lemuel learned wisdom, and he got some of this from his mom, obviously. So it's interesting that Lemuel's name means belonging to God. You know, these words that he spoke are referred to as an utterance, which means that Lemuel knew that this wisdom was a revelation from God. And how did he get this utterance? We're told here it was his mother who taught him. So it appears that she was the godly influence in his life. Mothers, don't ever doubt the influence you can have on your children there. So she apparently was that influence, and that probably is how he got his name, meaning belonging to God. So verse 2 says, "What, my son, and what, son of my womb, and what, son of my vows?" Someone noticed here that it's going from his adulthood down to his pre-birth. First, he's her son in the present. When she spoke to him, he was the son of her womb before he was actually born. And she says, goes back to the son of my vows. So this shows to her how dear her son Lemuel was to her. She declared her deep connection to him, even saying that he is the son of her vows, meaning of her vows to her husband and quite possibly her vows to the Lord. We don't have a lot of information on that. And since he's so dear to her, she's given him all the rest of this godly wisdom for his own protection and for him to have a blessed and successful life. So verse 3, "Do not give your strength to women, nor your ways to that which destroys kings." Now, as we go through this, we'll see it again, but these things, as the rest of Proverbs, they can be applied to men as well as women. It's coming out applying to, coming out applying to women here because she's talking to her son. So she's giving him good direction on that. So she starts out by cautioning him about women. Like I said, this can go the other way. If you're talking to your daughter, cautioning them about men. So specifically, she's talking about him over-obsessing with women. If his life is over-focused on women, then it will cause him to suffer a great loss, more than just losing a lot of valuable time because of spending too much time chasing them and trying to get attention from them, but also he'll be losing his strength spiritually because he will be more concerned about women than he will be about the Lord. So it will damage his life spiritually, but also he'll lose the strength of his own integrity and the strength of his good reputation. This obsessive lifestyle would definitely change the way people think about him. By the way, as in the rest of Proverbs, again, this can be applied to a woman obsessing over men too. This is a mother addressing her son, so that's why she's warning him about not spending his time chasing women. But this could easily be a mother warning her daughter about men too. The second line of this verse adds on to the warning also. She points out that having an obsession with women can destroy kings. Solomon made this tragic mistake of chasing all those women, and it caused him to lose his spiritual strength. So sad. That's why he ended up being unfaithful to the Lord and stooping so low as to worship the false idols of some of his pagan wives. King David also suffered loss when he just had to have Bathsheba. Think about the spiritual strength that he lost by his immoral decision. He angered the Lord, and the Lord was going to take his life when Nathan confronted him. Fortunately, he repented at that point, but he tarnished his good reputation, and that is still remembered even till today. You know, people still remember his victories, like defeating Goliath, but they also remember his affair with Bathsheba and how he had her husband killed in battle, being blinded by his lust there. So those were things that you would never expect to come from David, the man after God's own heart. So King Lemuel's mom is showing her son how disastrous it could be if he gets obsessed with women in his life. Next, she's going to warn her son about another dangerous thing that could cause destruction in his life as a king. Verse 4, "It is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, not for princes intoxicating drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the justice of all the afflicted." So she's explaining to him that kings and those in royalty have no good reason to be indulging in alcohol. Psalm 104, verse 15 said, "Wine can make a man's heart merry." Talking about having wine when there were celebrations, and that's an acceptable thing in some instances. But she's emphasizing her point that godly wisdom would say that leaders, such as kings, should not partake of this drink because of how it affects a person's thinking. A king, as well as other leaders, may be called upon to make a crucial decision unexpectedly or need to make a rule concerning the law. And if they are inebriated at the time, they may not be sharp enough mentally or spiritually to remember the law or to have the proper respect for the importance of the law themselves. The end result could be very tragic for the person who is afflicted. And it says here, as it says here, it's calling them afflicted, those that are the victim, those that are hurting. And notice how she showed that this could cause catastrophic damage to many people, because she said the king or leader who was messed up due to alcohol could pervert the justice of all the afflicted, not just some of the injured, but all of them. A very tragic warning she gives here. So the danger of even starting to drink alcohol could lead to another drink and another drink. And for a leader like a king, it could have some far-reaching consequences that would be horrible. You know, someone said it well, drunkenness deprives a man of the use of reason, and that will hinder his ability to distinguish between right and wrong. Verse 6, "Give strong drink to him who is perishing, and wine to those who are bitter of heart." So she tells Lemuel that strong drink can be given to someone who is dying. And I think the instance she's referring to is like someone who's being put to death for the crimes they have committed. Remember, they offered Jesus a drink when he was on the cross, but he refused it. And the decisions that a real criminal can make at the last minutes of their life normally do not have much of an effect on others, not like a king or a leader would have if it's something he needs to make a decision on. So if it hinders the criminal's process of thinking clearly, it doesn't really matter that much. Lemuel's mom taught him about another person who could be given wine, and that person, it may do more good than harm, and that's someone who has a bitter heart. They have had something happen in their life that has brought them down pretty hard, so they could use a little joy in their life, even if it only is short-term relief from their problems. She gives them the reason for mentioning the bitter person, and then explains the reason why she mentions it in the next verse. Because verse 7 said, "Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more." And of course, that's very temporary. So his mother's emphasizing how drinking alcohol can have a real impact on a person's memory and their judgments, and that's her point. A man who drinks to forget his poverty hasn't solved any of his problems. He's still in poverty, and maybe even more so if he spent the last of his money on booze instead of taking care of feeding his family. And a man who is in misery may drink alcohol in order to try and forget why he's so miserable. But if he's drinking, that will impair his judgment even more so, and he could be causing himself much deeper misery than what he started with. For instance, if he drives while intoxicated and damages another vehicle or sadly takes someone's life, then when he eventually sobers up, he may end up with a ton more reasons to feel miserable. So Lemuel's mother was not advocating to give alcohol to the man on death row or to the man who has so much misery in his life, as much as she was saying that a king has no business drinking alcohol at all. Think about the wisdom here that she has given. This should speak to leaders that you want to be very careful in not getting into this problem, because you could really mess someone else's life up. Verse 8 goes on here in Proverbs 31, verse 8. "Open your mouth for the speechless in the cause of all who are appointed to die. Open your mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy." So a king shouldn't waste his power on chasing women or wine, but if he's wise, he will use his power for good. So she is going to talk to him more about this in this passage here. "Open your mouth for the speechless," she said, "in the cause of all who are appointed to die." These are those who don't have a voice to speak for themselves, like the unborn children who are headed for the abortion chamber, a child or a leader who could use their power to rescue them and stop a tragedy from happening. And when it talks about those who are appointed to die, she's saying that there are those who will be put to death, and they didn't have an opportunity to defend themselves. They were speechless. And obviously this verse just makes you think of the unborn children, both boys and girls, who will be put to death before they're even born, or shortly thereafter. They were appointed to die, and they were given no say-so at all about it. Verse 9, "Open your mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy." So the poor and needy are not valued by a society normally, but when their needs are not being met, that's when a king or a leader can cause their voice and their power to help them out. So if those poor people would come to trial, they'd probably not be given a fair shake. But the king should speak up for them and take care of the people under his rule. And to judge righteously also means to be impartial in your judgments and judge everyone the same, whether they're rich or poor, and not looking down on someone because they are poor. Verse 10, "Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies." So King Lemuel's mother is now turning her attention to explaining to her son what kind of wife he should be searching for. She wanted him to have the best marriage possible, so she sets the bar very high. So since this section was originally told from a mother to her son, this section can be useful for a couple of things. For one, a man can use this section to pray for finding a wife like this. Secondly, it can also be used as a set of goals for a young woman to strive to live up to. So one thing it is not intended to do is to judge women. But unfortunately, that's what seems to come across from this passage many times. So if the ladies want to use this passage for a set of goals to work on, or if the guys want to use this passage to pray for the right wife, then that's great. But that's what this passage was intended to be used for. So that's one thing we want to get from this passage. This passage has been scary to women to look at, to feel like, well, I don't measure up to this. It's never meant to be that way, ever. It's meant to be encouraging. It's meant to safeguard the young person looking for a good spouse. And it's meant for both men and women to look at these guidelines that are a very high standard and to say, I need to strive for that. And as we go through, if you say, well, I'm kind of weak in that area, then that's a goal you can set to stand for and say, I want to work toward that goal to improve in that area and submit that to the Lord. So this passage is never meant to beat someone up. And like I said, unfortunately, a lot of times that's what it's been used for. So please get that from this passage as we get in here. His mother is trying to help him find a good spouse. And again, this can be pointed to a daughter saying, you need to find a good husband. And give some guidelines here for that too. So Lemuel's mother, she gets to the point immediately. And she brings up the idea of finding a virtuous wife. Not just finding a wife, just anybody, but finding a virtuous wife. And then she points out what a valuable treasure will be found in that kind of woman, you know, if he's able to find this. And all the characteristics that will be included in the section can be summed up like this. Her greatest strength is her godly wisdom. And along with that, the fact that she has such a close walk with the Lord. Now, if someone is considered to be virtuous, it means that they have a high moral standard. And when it speaks of rubies here, it compares that the worth of a person like that is far above rubies. Rubies are very valuable, but they're also very rare. So if it's a rare thing to find such a woman with such a standard of moral excellence that's going to be described in the section, it is a very valuable treasure. And since that person is rare, the passage should not be used to compare or to condemn either one's own self or another woman. However, it can be a valuable example to strive to live up to. Verse 11, the heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. The husband of such a virtuous woman puts his trust in his wife, and he feels that he can safely do so. This is such a blessing for the husband because we have, as we have seen in earlier Proverbs, that a wise woman builds her house, but the foolish one pulls it down with her hands. And when it says that the husband will have no lack of gain, it means that she's going to be an asset in his life and not a deficit. He knows that she's going to add something to his life by being married to her. Verse 12, she does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She continues to be a blessing all the days of her life. He doesn't have to worry day to day if her character is going to change. Verse 13, she seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. So flax here is a thread that's made into a linen cloth. The wool and flax were both used to make clothing. So these things would be necessary resources for their home and family. So this is one way that she's contributing to help out her husband and family. And she doesn't think it beneath her to willingly work with her hands. Verse 14, she is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. You know, the merchant ships would regularly bring food to an area. And in the same way, this virtuous woman, regularly provides food for her family, making sure they get fed. Verse 15, she also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. So it's a known fact that she will prepare meals for the family and they will stay fed. There's no concern in the family about that. And she will work sacrificially for the family, even rising while it is yet night, if that's what it takes. Some of the families back then had servants or hired workers, and this is saying that she cared for her maidservants as well as for her family. This probably made the workers there feel like they were part of the family too. Verse 16, she considers a field and buys it. From her profits, she plants a vineyard. So she's thoughtfully doing these things that will better the family and better their lives together. And planting a vineyard was not only going to be profitable, but it also shows her willingness to work hard, because it took a lot of work to plant a vineyard. Verse 17, she girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She was known for her strength in working. That's why she needed strength in her arms, because she was going to be using them in her daily tasks. Verse 18, she perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night. So perceiving that her merchandise is good means that she does a good job at her work and doesn't do things halfway. Her lamp doesn't go out by night because she is diligent to keep the oil in it filled up. Verse 19, she stretches out her hands to the distaff and her hand holds the spindle. Do you guys know what a distaff is? I had not heard that term till studying here of this passage. The distaff and spindle are what was used to wrap the wool or flax, and they used those things for making thread. And she stretches out her hands because it took both hands to do it correctly. This again shows her diligence to do work for her family. Verse 20, she extends her hand to the poor. She reaches out her hands to the needy. So she has a compassionate heart toward others, especially to the poor and the needy, and she does what she can to help them. Verse 21, she is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. You know, the idea of having scarlet clothing here is probably better translated as referring to clothing that is extra thick. This would make sense why she's not afraid of snow for her household, because she's made sure that they were wearing warm clothing. Verse 22, she makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. And now this appears to show God's blessing on her because of her wisdom and her diligent work. She was able to make nice clothes for herself, but obviously not at the expense of her family. So the Lord doesn't mind people dressing nice. That's a misnomer. And that should not be looked down upon because someone is dressing nice. Verse 23, her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. Remember, that's where they did the business, in the gates of the city. It was like their court area. So this virtuous wife is taking care of things at home so well that her husband has had time to reach out and deal with some of the business affairs of the community. So just as she has had compassion on those who need help, she's made it possible for her husband to spend time helping others too. This has allowed him to be respected among the elders of the land. Verse 24, she makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. So it was common for women of that time to weave linen and be involved in honest trade. So this was part of her work, being willing to make these linen garments and sashes and then sell them at the market. Verse 25, strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. So this describes her shining character. Her inward clothing of her character was strength and honor. And those kinds of things cannot wear out. Let me get this straight. Sorry, guys. The outer clothing we wear can wear out, but having the inner character is long-lasting, right, if you stay close to the Lord. So she will be able to stand strong in the future. In her old age, she will be still known for her strength and her honor. Verse 26, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. So to hear this woman speak, you could tell that she had godly wisdom. And she didn't use God's law as a battering ram, but she used it to show God's love for people. She spoke of God's kindness toward folks. Verse 27, she watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. So she keeps an eye on how things are going in her home and family. And she's even diligent at doing this task, and she doesn't have any time for laziness. Verse 28 there, I'm sorry, I didn't read that. As she does not eat the bread of idleness. That's an interesting way of putting that. It's like she doesn't take time for that meal. Verse 28, her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. And that's what a message of what the husband is saying to his wife. So her family sees her good work, and they acknowledge it publicly when they get the opportunity. And this also points out the need for a husband and family to acknowledge the hard work of this virtuous wife. The words in verse 29 are the words of the husband letting her know how much he thinks of her and how much he respects her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Verse 30, charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. So charm and beauty are mere outward things, and they don't last as long as the godly character of a virtuous wife. And such a wife deserves to be praised by her husband and by her family. So Lemuel's mom is making sure to point that out to him. And he finds such a godly woman. She wants to let him, he wants her to let him know that he respects her so much and he appreciates her being so godly. Verse 31, give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. So this is the result of living a godly life. The work that she has done, the fruit of her hands, and the efforts that she has given for her family and for others will be the reputation she leaves behind. The things she has done will not be forgotten, but will be appreciated publicly. If not in this life, then they will be told inside the gates of heaven. So this book of Proverbs began with a father encouraging his son to seek God's wisdom and to make it part of his daily life. And it ends with a godly mother telling her son to seek a wife who is filled with godly wisdom. And the pages between those two stories are an invaluable wealth of God's wisdom. May the Lord continue to bless us with his wisdom for the rest of our days, and may we never ignore his wisdom for any of the decisions we will make. Now we're going to stop here today, and let me remind you what Jesus did when he was walking on this earth a long time ago. He would see people and he would simply say to them, follow me. So I'd like to imagine today, if you would, that Jesus is looking straight at you and he is saying the same thing to you, follow me. And I pray that you make the wise choice and say yes to Jesus today. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you so much for this tremendous wisdom you share with us in the book of Proverbs. Father, thank you for leading us through this study of the entire book. And Lord, we can't praise you enough for that. Lord, I pray that the wisdom we have seen takes place in our heart and we grasp it and hold on to it and it becomes part of us. And Father, I pray for our families as you show us the need for that in this book. We pray for our children, for our relatives, Father. We pray for our grandchildren, our nephews, nieces, all those people, especially the young, who have such important decisions to make in life, and it's such an evil world. They don't have any good guidance coming from the world. So, Father, I pray that your children, Father, will stand up strong and encourage their own children and families to follow you. And we want you to give us the boldness and the courage to do that, Lord. Give us the time to speak and the wisdom to know when. And I do ask that the Holy Spirit would just speak right through us to those people's hearts. Father, we thank you that you do that with us. Father, if anyone is listening and they don't know Jesus yet, I pray you would let them see the importance of leaving this life with Jesus and having their sins completely paid for, because he paid for them on the cross. And I thank you for raising him from the dead to prove that. And Lord, I pray that you'd help the people see that they need to be in heaven because of Jesus. They don't want to face the eternal consequences of leaving this life without Jesus. Father, thank you so much for the patience and long-suffering you have with us. I pray you fill us with your Spirit that we can be more like you. And we want to give you back all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.